Good morning to everyone. Howdy. So I hope your celebration of the solemnity of the Lord's Annunciation went very well. And I also hope that you join the Pope in the consecration of Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Today we read from St. Luke chapter 18 about the prayer. The difference between the prayer of a tax collector and the one of the Pharisee. So Jesus spoke the following parable to some people who prided themselves on being virtuous and despised everyone else. That sounds familiar, right? Because we are all implicated here. Many times when we practice something very well, whatever it may be, it's like, but not really, some kind of brag about it. Or we're happy we are better, we're more studious, or we're more industrious, more polite, or whatever other virtue, we're better than the others. And we emphasize this so much that practically we look down on others and wonder why they are not able to do what we are able to do. So, as I said in the beginning, there's a certain pride in that, which obstructs the efficacy of grace in our souls. Anyway, let the gospel tell us more. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood there and said this prayer to himself. I thank you, God, that I am not grasping, unjust, adulterous like the rest of mankind, and particularly that I am not like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on all I get. And that was what the gospel says about the virtues of the Pharisee. And indeed, he must have been a good, very good man, better than many others in the world. But at the same time, all this description rings some kind of hollowness or something is lacking. Let's get now to the tax collector. The tax collector stood some distance away, not daring even to raise his eyes to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that was all he said. That was all his prayer. And Jesus concludes, this man, the tax collector, I tell you, went home again at rights with God. The other did not. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the man who humbles himself will be exalted. And that's the end of the gospel. So here, our Lord wants to teach us about humility. And humility is indispensable in dealing with God. If we give in to pride, we might as well become a rival of God. Adam and Eve bought into the proposal of the serpent because they would become gods if they ate the forbidden fruit. Why in the world would anyone want to become other gods? Why? If you examine those who have claimed they were gods or descendant of the gods, where are they? The Roman emperors, Nero, Caligula, or the others who claimed that and demanded that they be treated as divine. They're dead. D-E-A, dead. They would bleed if you wounded them. They would die if you slit their throats. I mean, just like any other man. Who else would dare claim to be divine? Well, some other cultures. In the end, being frank about it, they don't look like they're anywhere close from being a god. Because God is all perfect. Because God is the supreme being, and he does not show his power just like that. He's hidden. He is humble. He is silent. He operates in the background, but he is the foundation of everything that exists in this universe. His is the creation of all creatures that science is studying or is trying to study. It's really something what God can do. And a man claiming he is God, well, he will do that by force of threats to kill whoever denies it. By the barrel of his gun, by his wealth, by his power, well, he'll force it down on others, and we'll have no other alternative but to agree with him. It's like the king's new clothes. Those new clothes were nothing, and the king came out naked, and people were still afraid to tell him that. Well, we have to tell everybody, you're not the true God. You may claim to be, but you are no God at all. So humility is to accept this. We are not God, and we are different from the real God, who is transcendent and omni to the most eminent degree, whatever perfection you want to ascribe him, raised to the umpteenth power, infinite. And we are poor sinners. Even if we have a certain virtue or we are excellent in something, charity, faith, you name it, all the saints, they did not pray like this fellow, this Pharisee prayed. And it was evident that they were so charitable, that they were so virtuous, so holy, and still, characteristically, regarding all these canonized saints, they saw themselves as great sinners. Because that's the truth. Everything else, the virtues, etc., were because of God's grace. They would not dare claim that they were theirs, those virtuous acts. They were only by virtue of the grace of God, and what we had to do, what they had to do, was just cooperate with God. Let it happen to me as you want, dear Lord. And that's humility. And our Lord said that the one who was humble was the one who said, merely said, Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He went home having pleased God. The other one did not, because he took pride in what he was doing. And he took because of taking pride at what he was doing. He looked down on others. He did not realize the source of all virtue is God. And that's why we have to be very thankful. And we have to be to admire those who are more virtuous than us, because that comes from God. And if we lack something, a virtue, well, the proper thing to do is not to envy others, but to pray to God to make us more of that virtue, more orderly, more respectful, more diligent, more hopeful, more optimistic, and so forth. And thus we will please God. So this is a very important attitude in Lent and outside of Lent all the time. We are repentant of our sins. And as the Lord says, those who are exalted, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But the man who humbles himself will be exalted. Thank you for listening, and may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain forever. Amen. Ciao!